coming out of a Thanksgiving holiday. We've got a crossover Friday here at the Locked On Bucks podcast as I am joined by Chris Clark of the Locked On Chiefs podcast to talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Kansas City Chiefs matchup coming up in week 12 of the NFL season. Right here at the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, Bucks Nation, to your Black Friday episode of Locked On Bucks Podcast, brought to you by Built Bar. And today, their Black Friday deal is still going on, 25% off site-wide, and you can still use the promo code Locked On for an additional discount on your next order of Built Bars. I am your host, David Harrison, and like we said in the pre-roll, today is a crossover Friday episode as we were not with you on Thanksgiving, enjoying some food, some football, and some family time. Hopefully you all were able to do the same. And if you're out shopping on Black Friday, hopefully you're being safe and being kind to one another. But we've got a great conversation coming up with Chris Clark of the Locked On Chiefs podcast. He's going to talk to me about the Buccaneers first. And then at the back end of that, I'm going to ask him some very important questions about the Kansas City Chiefs. So let's get right to it and bring on Chris Clark of the Locked On Chiefs podcast. Looking forward to, hopefully it's going to be a great game no matter who wins or loses.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's going to be a good game. It's quite a different scenario this year with Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. Let's go ahead and start there. What have you really seen from him this year, and what were you expecting when he was brought to Tampa Bay?
I mean, I was expecting leadership. I think that's really the biggest thing that Tom Brady brings to the field. Obviously, you have, you know, the arm talent, or as much arm talent as there is, depending on who you talk to, and you have the track record. But, you know, past Super Bowls and MVP trophies don't win games in 2020, so that's really kind of the focus was needing to be on what he could bring to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, what they could bring to him, and how they could work together to make a successful campaign. And then, of course, the loss of preseason, the mitigated or the shortened training camp obviously has an effect on all that stuff. But really throughout it all, what you see in Tom is a steady leader for the locker room, on the field, on the team. And I mean, he's consistent in what he does. He's consistent in, you know, praising his teammates, and he's also very consistent in taking blame when he feels like it's necessary, or sometimes when it's just kind of the right thing to do from a leadership standpoint. And that's pretty much what we've expected. As far as performance on the field goes, you know, I didn't come into it personally with a whole lot of loaded expectations. I mean, my season prediction for them in the early part of the year was 11-5. Right now, obviously, they're on track, probably get more like 6 losses. But I mean, you're kind of seeing what you might have expected. I think I expected a little bit more, you know, maybe 1 or 2 more quality wins in this season than maybe we're going to get. But for the most part, I mean, you have a team that Tom, he looks like it, like a veteran quarterback on a new team with a new scheme, as much as you expect him to.
Well, and you've brought in other pieces around him. Rob Gronkowski is also there now, Antonio Brown as well. What have you really seen from those two guys as they've been brought to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this year?
Yeah, Rob, early on, I mean, you could tell the rust was there. You could tell some of the, you know, the lack of football playing for the last year before that. And then, again, he and Tom are getting reacclimated together, and they're both in a new scheme, both with new coaches, both with new teammates. But then gradually, week by week, this last week didn't get used as much as you probably want to. They didn't connect as much as obviously they would want to. But before that, you see it kind of week to week. The old Gronk is kind of coming back, and what you want to see is that talent, that connection coming back, just without some of the injuries that he suffered in the past. And I think some of those other weapons like AB, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin being healthy can help the Buccaneers keep Gronk healthier for December football, hopefully January football. As far as Antonio Brown, I mean, so far from everything we're hearing and everything we've seen physically, he's a guy who's going out there working. You see a little bit of his swagger, you know, when he gets a first down catch or something, you see a little bit of that and that excitement to be back on the field. But as far as we're being told and what's coming out of One Buck, he's just being a good teammate, a good worker, and he's got his nose down, his head down. Hopefully, you know, he's going to make it through the remaining, you know, civil litigation that he's got, so he can stick with the team and hopefully be a contributor during the stretch.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be something big to watch over the next couple of weeks with the coming litigation that he has. You know, you look at the Buccaneers' schedule so far, they have 4 losses, 2 of them to New Orleans. And really, the last game against New Orleans where they lost 38-3, what did you really see in that game? And is it something that really worries you for the rest of the season?
Yeah, that game was dictated by a lack of energy, really, from the opening kickoff. They just lacked energy, and the New Orleans Saints came in there. And I kind of accustomed it to or compared it to it was a playoff atmosphere, you know. And I mean, since then, Bruce Arians kind of come out, and some of the players come out and said that week in, week out right now, it's kind of a playoff atmosphere. But the New Orleans Saints came into that game, Drew Brees, Sean Payton, that defense came in thinking this is a playoff game in the sense that we're going to come in here and show that we are still the top dog, not only in the NFC, but in the NFC South specifically, where the Buccaneers came in and kind of said, okay, this is a primetime game and it's a division rival. And they just kind of looked like they were almost going through the motions a little bit. I think that's why you saw the change in the game plan as far as preparations concerned. They had some night practices before they played against the Rams, and they changed some stuff on their Monday schedule and routine to hopefully have the players a little bit more refreshed. And I think on Monday night, you did see more energy from them. Even though they did come out the loss, you saw a more energized unit. Some of the other problems that came up against the Rams, more kind of schematic, a little bit of execution, especially in tackling, and then some of the play calling obviously is coming into question, as it has pretty much all season.
Well, yeah, and then you're looking at one of the things that Brady has really struggled with this season is right now throwing down the field. He hasn't completed a long-distance pass in quite a while, and he's thrown several picks doing so. That's definitely going to be something that they're going to need to get to address coming up. But you look at the Buccaneers' offense overall this year. So far, they're 19th in the league in yards, 6th in scoring at just over 29 points a game. Offensively, they look like they're a pretty good team, and they are, you know, in most games, at least to the very end. Defensively, it looks like they have been playing very well as well. What can you tell me? Who are a couple of players that Chiefs fans should be looking for on defense?
On defense, I think you gotta keep an eye out on Antoine Winfield Jr., the rookie safety, second round draft pick out of Minnesota. He's been just kind of a little bit of everything. He's made splash plays in coverage. He's had tackles. He's had sacks. Again, he's just kind of that Swiss Army knife that, you know, a Todd Bowles defense really likes to accentuate, and that's kind of something that they've been able to do with him. And he's been able to come into this unit. He's the only new starter on this squad from the 2019 version. Every other starter is a starter from the previous season. And he's been able to come in and really from week one just kind of became a part of the unit, became a part of the scheme. And it really has just been a perfect fit for what Antoine Winfield Jr. brings to the field and what Todd Bowles wants out of one of his safeties back there.
Well, and then you look at the rest of the defense. You've got a couple of guys, Jason Pierre-Paul, that I saw have a couple of splash plays last night. And Lavonte David as well. That defense is definitely something to be watching for.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Lavonte David and JPP have been kind of the steady veterans for this team, even through some of their struggles and some of the games they've lost. And, you know, even going back to like that Monday night game or that Sunday night game against the Saints where they lacked a lot of energy, you still had guys like JPP and Lavonte David out there kind of doing their thing. And coming out of that game, I even actually said that those two and Ndamukong Suh were really the only three defensive players I saw in that game really kind of going out there and still doing their job to an acceptable level. Maybe not as high a level as you wanted them to, but still an acceptable level. And then this last game, you look at those two guys, Lavonte and JPP, and definitely can't hang the loss on them. But at the end of the day, those aren't the kinds of guys they are, which is what makes them such great leaders. They don't care what they did individually. You know, JPP is not going to care that he got an interception and, you know, made this great tackle or made this great play. At the end of the day, the team came away with the loss, so he's going to be angry and upset about it until they get another win.
That's exactly the way your defense should be. They shouldn't care about their stats, and that's what you hope for most players.
This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is a refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi, made for football watching. One more question from Chris coming up in segment two, and then it's my turn to flip the script and start asking him some things about the Kansas City Chiefs, things that I want to know and that hopefully you guys want to know as we continue this crossover Friday of the Locked On Bucks podcast. All right, guys, back now to wrap up the week here at the Locked On Bucks podcast, joined by Chris Clark of the Locked On Chiefs podcast. Welcome in to all of our new listeners. If this is the first episode that you're listening to of the Locked On Bucks podcast, we appreciate you joining us. And we hope you come back on Mondays. James Jarko and I will recap whatever goes down between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Kansas City Chiefs. You can get in on the action, of course, by calling 813-444-5841. Leave us your thoughts, your reactions, and your questions. And we, as always, will get as many on the air as we can. We love hearing it from our regulars, but we also love hearing new voices, new questions, new takes all the time. So please don't be shy. Feel free to call in and become a part of the Locked On Bucks podcast. But right now, let's get back to the conversation between Chris Clark from the Locked On Chiefs podcast and myself about this weekend's matchup.
The last question I'll ask you about the Buccaneers before we switch over really quick. You know, you look at this offense, you look at what looks to be a superstar cast surrounding Tom Brady. Do you think that they're still putting it together? Do you think that they're still learning how to play together? Obviously, you just added another piece with Antonio Brown, which makes it more difficult. But, you know, offensively, do you think that they're still looking to try to find that right fit?
I mean, to a certain extent, they are, you know, and this is a conversation we had on our game reaction episode that dropped on Tuesday, is this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. You haven't seen this offense come out with the same squad more than two games in a row yet this season. You know, whether it's been a wide receiver missing or a new addition, OJ Howard going out, so then Cam Brate's got to step up, offensive lineman injured. I mean, even the 3 weeks that Ali Marpet has been out, the first week he was out, it was Joe Hay at left guard, Ryan Jensen center. And then the last 2 weeks, we see Ryan Jensen move over to left guard, and we see A.Q. Shipley come in at center. And then last night, you had A.Q. Shipley go down. So now all of a sudden, you've got Aaron Stinney in there, and Jensen's back at under center. And I mean, you know, when you look at the offensive line, I mean, I know you guys know this, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners know this, but you know, that's an incredibly crucial part of this equation. When you look at the Buccaneers, they came into the season saying they're a 12 personnel based offense, which means two tight ends are on the field, and they're not both there just to run routes. They're both there to also help out with pass protection. So when a guy like OJ Howard goes out, I know he's known for athleticism and catching, but he's also a very solid blocker. When he goes out, that's a part of your game plan, your part of your scheme as a team, your identity that is going out with him. Cameron Brate is not anywhere near the blocker that Rob Gronkowski is or that OJ Howard is. So you lose OJ Howard, you don't just lose playmaking ability, you also lose blocking ability in line as a tight end. Rob Gronkowski steps up, but if he's stepping up into that blocking role, now you lose Gronk and some of those receiving. It just all kind of bleeds together. It's not an excuse for why it's happening. Really, at the end of the day, I think the really big problem with this offense coming in week to week and looking solid is a little bit of a lack of creativity from the offensive play calling standpoint and how quickly they move to get away from the run game. You saw that against New Orleans, a record setting for modern NFL low in the run game. And then even in this game, I mean, Ronald Jones came out, you know, the number three running back entering week 11 in the National Football League, only got 10 carries against the Los Angeles Rams. I understand the Rams have a really good run defense, but they also have a better pass defense. When you have a really good pass defense that knows you're not running the ball because you've basically abandoned it into the second half, that's not going to make anything easier on your quarterback, no matter if it's Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, I don't care who it is. If the opposing side knows you're just passing the ball to be passing the ball, your quarterback's going to have a rough game.
Absolutely. No, I completely agree with that. And I think that that's going to be something that really could hurt the way that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are hoping this season ends up turning out. I do think that play calling and the way I saw their, you know, some of the play calling last night, watching that game really stood out to me as something that you would question.
All right, Chris. So looking at the Kansas City Chiefs, the state of the Chiefs offensive line, what are some of the pitfalls for these defenses going against the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes? Because obviously, you know, the traditional mindset is you want to get pressure on a quarterback. You want to make them uncomfortable, get them off their spot. But we've seen Patrick Mahomes time and time again, even sometimes when he is uncomfortable, he still makes the plays. So is the smarter move to kind of stay back and hope you can anticipate what he does, or is a better move just kind of send the house? And then what are the updates, the latest updates we can get anyway on the offensive line there for the Kansas City Chiefs?
You know, right now, Mitchell Schwartz is on IR, so he's not going to be playing. Martinez Rankin is coming back from being on the PUP list. I think he might play this week, but it's a question as to whether or not he's actually going to make the active roster. Right now, we don't know if Eric Fisher is going to play, and that could be a huge loss for Kansas City, losing their left tackle. They're already down their right tackle. They're down their starting right guard. You know, and there's other questions at other positions as well. And they're down their starting left guard for that matter. You know, Kelechi Osemele is down as well. So, you know, really they've been dealing with injuries this entire season. I think, you know, you look at Patrick Mahomes, and I think the biggest thing that you take away from the way he plays the game is sending the house isn't really going to help much. I think the thing that he has done a lot better over the past couple of seasons is he's gotten to the point where he knows where the blitz is coming from normally. Before the ball is snapped. And if he knows where the blitz is coming from, he knows what read he's going to go to. And unless you're fantastic at disguising your blitzes and sending stuff at something at him that he's not used to, you're probably not going to get home. And he has a very high passer rating against the blitz. So generally speaking, you're going to be better off if he can rush for and get pressure. But that's a big key, and not a lot of teams can do that.
No, absolutely. And Buccaneers fans are not going to be happy to hear that if they see another Todd Bowles defense performance where they sit back kind of in zone and really don't blitz a whole lot. They're probably going to lose their minds, especially. I mean, look at what Jared Goff just did against them in that similar type of a scheme. They did bring some pressure, but not as consistent as many people outside the organization wanted them to. Again, Pat Mahomes, a whole different story from Jared Goff. So interested to see how Todd Bowles comes out in that matchup. But speaking of the Buccaneers as a whole, they haven't fared well in 2020 against playoff caliber teams, obviously. Particularly in the quote unquote big games, prime time, bright lights, and all that stuff, and it's made Tom Brady look somewhat pedestrian in his first season outside of Foxborough. What do the Kansas City Chiefs though have in their defense that you think can stop this Buccaneers offense, or is there a concern in you that this could turn into a Packers Bucks repeat from week six where Tampa Bay ran Aaron Rodgers out of town with a 38-10 loss?
I don't think it's going to be a 38-10 loss. Patrick Mahomes, I think, just finds a way to win. And if there's one thing that I've seen from him, it's that he's always prepared no matter what the defense is going to throw at him. He can be surprised, but usually he figures it out. Even against Bill Belichick a couple years ago, where the Patriots really stumped him the first half, he came back in the second half and was able to figure it out. I think that that's kind of what you're going to see from Kansas City offensively. When you start looking at the defensive side of the ball, I think, you know, the big question is going to be, you know, can their corners continue to play better? I think that they need to get better. They're going to have another corner that they're going to be adding to the roster, probably not before the Buccaneers game. I can't imagine that DeAndre Baker is going to be added before the Bucs game, but I do think he's going to be added in the coming weeks after that. You know, the other thing is, you know, against the Raiders, Tyrann Mathieu, I think, was sick, and that wasn't reported until after the game. I think that that does make a big difference on the back end of their defense. Juan Thornhill didn't play a lot. It sounds like he's probably dealing with repercussions of his ACL tear from last year. So the question is, you know, if, you know, Tampa can't throw the ball deep, which is something that really could hurt Kansas City because they're not going to have the back end speed with Thornhill like they normally would, I think that actually gives Kansas City an advantage. You know, when you look at the receivers that the Buccaneers have, that's definitely going to be something that they're going to have to watch. But if they can sit on, you know, short and intermediate routes and not worry near as much about getting beat over the top, I think that's going to be a big advantage for Kansas City.
Yeah, and then according to DVOA ratings from Football Outsiders, the Kansas City Chiefs pass defense faring better than the run defense. Tampa Bay Buccaneers have Ronald Jones, who now sits as the fifth leading rusher in the National Football League after getting scarcely used against the Los Angeles Rams. But then also you have, again, Tom Brady, you have Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, you know, Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski, all coming out of that Rams game healthy. So you expect them obviously to be healthy coming into this matchup. You just talked about the addition of a new cornerback, probably not going to be available. So when you know, I mean, obviously, you know, the Chiefs defense very well, and you kind of know the trends that are going on there, especially with guys like Thornhill. And then you've seen what you've seen from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense, even with the lack of ability to throw the ball deep since the end of that Las Vegas Raiders game. Do you expect more Ronald Jones or more passing game? Do you expect this to be more of a balanced attack from the Buccaneers? And really, if you could, you know, not that you necessarily would, but if you had an audience with Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich, how would you tell them to use the Buccaneers' weapons to attack the Chiefs' defense?
You know, honestly, I think that's a fantastic question, but I will say it's going to depend on the game and the tempo and the way things shake out. The main reason I say that is if you get down, you know, two scores to Patrick Mahomes, anything that you plan doing going into that game is probably going to go out the window because you're going to be chasing points the rest of the game, or at least you're going to feel that way. So as long as they're able to keep it close, then I think that, you know, the thing that they should be looking at doing is, you know, sprinkling in the run, using play action passes, get Ronald Jones going. I think that that's something that they can definitely do against this team. Kansas City does struggle against the run, but if you get it to where they're more of a one-dimensional type of offense that you're facing, obviously that's going to help the defense. With all the weapons that Tampa Bay has and all the pass-catching weapons that they have, you know, I would imagine Kansas City is going to expect them to throw the ball more than they run it. So play action passes, I think, would really benefit them. And you know, you look at the run defense for Kansas City, it's not very stout. Their defensive line has been getting pushed off the ball, and they haven't been creating pressure when they've been, you know, trying to get after the quarterback. And that is a recipe for disaster against the Tom Brady team. If you can't get in front of him and you can't get in his face, you are going to get picked apart.
Here with Chris Clark of the Locked On Chiefs podcast, we are going to get deeper into this week 12 matchup between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, as the Buccaneers look to rebound from their loss on Monday night to the Los Angeles Rams. Coming up in segment three here, the Locked On Bucs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Speaking about run defenses, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, rather, still sit on top of the league in DVOA against the run. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has a very, very strong following among Buccaneers fans. Just going back to the draft season, a lot of Buccaneers fans wanted to see Clyde Edwards-Helaire end up in Tampa. Of course, the Chiefs do a smart thing, even though it's something that probably nobody expected in the first round. Take him. They have that fifth-year option now on him to use, which is brilliant. Not a lot of success from running games and running back specifically against this Buccaneers offense. And like we already kind of talked about, anytime you force a quarterback to get one-dimensional in offense, you just kind of lean on the pass more than they really want to, it's going to spell trouble. Maybe not so much for Mahomes as much as some other quarterbacks, but how do you see Clyde Edwards-Helaire playing out in this game? Where do you see his role, or do you think he's going to be a non-factor?
I'm not going to say he's going to be a non-factor. I think that he's going to get touches and I think he'll get yards, but he also might be used more in the passing game than you would expect most running backs to be used, because he's fantastic catching the ball out of the backfield. And don't forget, Kansas City also has a guy named Le'Veon Bell as well, who I think is also going to play a part in this game. You know, when you look at this matchup against the Buccaneers, the big thing for me, especially when you start talking about the running game, is what are the Buccaneers going to give Patrick Mahomes when they're coming up to, when he's coming up to the line? Because one of the things he's done is he started to audible out some of the play calls and switch to runs if it's a light box, or switch to passes if it's a heavy box. So I think that that's really going to play into it a little bit as well. I do think that Clyde's going to get, you know, probably 10 to 15 carries, I would imagine. But the question is, you know, how are they going to do those carries? Is it going to be, are they going to try to go in between the tackles where they struggle? Or are they going to try to get it out on the perimeter and use a little bit of motion to really help? I think that that's one way that they could really get him going and used in that regard.
Yeah, like you mentioned Le'Veon Bell, a reunion of sorts in this game for Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. Both of them looking, obviously, to make an impact for their team. Now, the Buccaneers' pass defense hasn't been as strong. And we saw against the Rams, shiftier receivers like Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods kind of had their way against the Buccaneers' young secondary on Monday night. Have you seen anything from that Rams game or any other Tampa game, honestly, opponent of theirs, that you think the Chiefs can sort of copy and paste for this matchup?
You know, I think one of the bigger things, and this is really what it's going to come down to for me, is I think Kansas City, you know, they put up 35 points against the Raiders, and this may sound cocky, but to be fair, I think they did it without their two of their top three wide receivers in Sammy Watkins and Mecole Hardman for most of the game. Hardman's coming back from COVID, and I think both of those guys are going to be available this next week against the Buccaneers. So to me, you start looking at this offense and you look at what Kansas City is going to be doing, I think that you're going to see Hardman taking, you know, deep, you know, trying to take the top off the defense. I think you're going to see Sammy Watkins doing what he does, stretching the middle of the field and doing some of the inner cutting routes. And then you have a guy like Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. I think that those are going to be two guys that are really going to be hard for this defense to contain when you have all those weapons on the field at the same time.
Yeah, there are going to be so many fantasy football fans and players that have this game kind of deciding whether or not they win or lose their matchups. It's really going to be amazing to see.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Speaking of Mecole Hardman, like you said, coming off COVID, I know he didn't get a lot of action this last week, but fully expecting him to be a bigger part of this offense against the Bucs?
Yeah, I am. I think that part of it was he wasn't really involved in the game plan because he wasn't at practice. There's only so much you can do in Zoom, and I think it's also a matter of energy level coming back to from playing, from having COVID. I mean, it possibly an energy level. That's just me speculating why he wasn't involved. I do think that it was a game planning thing where, you know, if you're not there for the game plans, you're not seeing all the play calls. I mean, yeah, you can know some of the plays, but, you know, they're not going to see running it on the field. So their comfort level is going to be different. The only time he was really used was in the 2-minute drill at the end of the game, and he came up with a huge catch. And, you know, people were asking, well, why wasn't he doing that the rest of the game? And again, it goes back to, you know, play calling and the game plan that you have for a specific team. I mean, you know, just as well as I do, 2-minute drills are 2-minute drills. They're not specifically designed for opponents. They're designed to do what you do best. And, you know, Hardman knows those plays by heart, and that's why he was in there and able to be coming up with that big catch. I think that that's going to be something that they're going to continue to have to use this week. And then you start looking at, you know, him specifically. I think that he is going to have a bigger role, and I think he's also going to be the guy returning punts and probably kickoffs, which could be a good thing for Kansas City. We'll see. Byron Pringle went on IR today, so he is definitely not going to be the guy returning.
It's hard to have a little-known player, I suppose, when you're a Super Bowl champion, but is there a lesser-known player in Kansas City that Buccaneers fans need to get intelligent about before Sunday?
You know, I think that one of the X factors in this game, and people are going to think I'm a little crazy, but I think Willie Gay could be an X factor on defense. The sideline-to-sideline speed that he has at linebacker, I think, could really be a benefit. The problem is he's been brought along pretty slowly for Kansas City because he was a second-round rookie, and I think that they just didn't feel he was ready to play. He's missed some tackles. I do think that that's something that is definitely going to be something that he's going to have to work on. Another name that I don't think most fans would know, Daniel Sorensen has struggled at times this season, but he seems to be clutch at the end of games. He came up with another huge interception against Derek Carr last week to seal the deal against the Raiders, and, you know, last year he came up with a huge interception against Phillip Rivers. He just seems to be at the right place at the right time in the clutch moments. But you know, he struggled at times as well. So that's definitely something to watch.
Yeah, most definitely. So the Chiefs are trying to defend the Super Bowl title, right? And we know that in history of Super Bowl champions, that's a hard thing to do. But the Chiefs look like they're in pretty solid control of making another postseason run. And you know, if they're in the tournament in January, they have a chance, obviously, to take the whole thing. Let's fast forward and let's pretend the Chiefs are back in the Super Bowl playing in Tampa. Which NFC team scares you the most? Which one do you want to see them play the least out of what looks like the NFC playoff contenders?
Yeah, it's really hard for me to say. I think that each team has its own issues and things that it brings for strengths. I like Tom Brady. I know a lot of Chiefs fans hate Tom Brady. I like Tom Brady. I think he's a good QB. I think he's struggling right now in certain aspects, and I think that makes them a little bit less dangerous than you would expect them to be with all the weapons that they have on offense. So I can't say Tampa. You know, when I look at the field when it comes to the NFC, honestly, the team that probably would scare me the most, even though they don't seem to have a lot of offensive weapons, is probably Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And it's just because Aaron Rodgers is so good. And you look at Devontae Adams, he's probably easily a top five wide receiver, maybe top three. You could easily make that argument. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers, with the way he's playing so far this year, with Kansas City's defense, the way they're playing right now, I think that would be the scariest matchup.
Yeah, I mean, you made a case for any of those teams, and Aaron Rodgers, definitely not a guy you can count out, and then Devontae Adams and everything that he can do as well. So finally, Chris, my listeners would not be very happy with me if I did not solicit a score and winner prediction for you before we get out of here.
You know, honestly, I think that this is going to be a high-scoring game. I think I'm going to take Kansas City. I'm going to say 38-31 Kansas City when everything's said and done. What about you? What do you think? Who do you think is going to win, and what do you think the score is going to be?
Yeah, I'm thinking 35-31 Kansas City. I think that they're very evenly matched rosters, like on paper, side by side. If you look at them, I think the Buccaneers defense obviously is a little bit better in certain areas, and I think overall it's a better defense, but you can't discount what Patrick Mahomes does. And I mean, like you said, he's a guy that if you blitz him like the Buccaneers are known to do and Buccaneers fans are going to want to see, he's liable to just tear you apart, you know, using your own sword against you. But then if you lean back and sit back, the Buccaneers have already shown time and time again this season when they don't play aggressively, they get picked apart again. I mean, Jared Goff having, you know, if that's the only game you've ever seen Jared Goff play, you would assume he's an all-pro quarterback.
It's funny because I could not stand his two-minute offense. He kept dinking and dunking down the field, and if it wasn't for a spectacular play by his wide receiver, they don't even get in field goal range.
No, absolutely not. They would have. Yeah,
I just was sitting there, was like, how do you take timeouts? How do you throw the ball in the middle of the field and only get 3 or 4 yards? It just, yeah. And you compare that to Patrick Mahomes, and it's just a completely different ball game and a completely different mindset. So,
absolutely. Yeah, I mean, one of them's a killer, and one of them is, I don't know, accidentally runs over people sometimes. I guess I don't know how to make that comparison.
Fair enough.
But yeah, I mean, obviously, there's not going to be any play calling. There's not going to be any game plans, revealed before now and kickoff. So I have no way of predicting if Byron Leftwich, Bruce Arians are going to come out with a more creative way of utilizing all the weapons that they have and their offensive talent. And until we start to see it, it's hard to kind of expect it. So I kind of have to go with what we've seen. And I mean, you know, the tape doesn't lie, and all of that is what they've represented themselves to be. And if they come out playing the Kansas City Chiefs the way they played, the Rams, the Saints, even the Panthers, I mean, they won, but you know, even the game plan there was pretty vanilla. I think the Chiefs take advantage of that, and Andy Reid comes out with a victory. And so 35-31 Chiefs is going to be my prediction until I'm proven wrong. Again, guys, he was Chris Clark on Twitter at Chris Clark NFL, one of the hosts of the Locked On Chiefs podcast and the managing editor over there and a senior analyst at Chiefs Digest. He and his co-host Ryan Tracy of Rogue Analytics bring you Kansas City Chiefs news and analysis 5 days a week here at the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you again to all of our new and our returning listeners for listening to today's show. Again, like I said earlier, we will be back on Monday to react to what will hopefully be a Tampa Bay Buccaneers win over the Kansas City Chiefs. Get in on the show, get in on the action by calling 813-444-5841. Let us know your thoughts from the latest outing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We will do our best to get it on the show. Until we speak again, please, if you're out and about, be safe, be kind to one another, wash your hands, and thank you so much for joining me right here at Locked On Bucs.